This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
The Jaguars get it done in last-second fashion once again. They beat the New Orleans Saints 27-24, and so in back-to-back weeks in the preseason, the Jaguars have very similar kinds of games, Marco Coleman. The starting offense looks very good early on. Game gets back and to the point where the Jaguars need to come from behind late, and Jordan Palmer leads them back. And in both occasions, it happens against one of the elite teams from the NFC. I'm not sure it's been a perfect preseason, but it's been pretty darn good through the first two games of the Mike Mularkey era.
You got to be very positive in the direction that the team is going. It's a team that is, it shows that it has been preparing very well, looking forward to the regular season with these guys.
One of the topics we'll be talking about a little bit later on here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show is whether there's a quarterback controversy in Jacksonville. And I don't mean for the starter. We know that's done. But at what point do you start checking to see about Jordan Palmer? I mean, Henny struggled a little bit today. Palmer looked very good the last couple of weeks, and he has got it done in crunch time. Certainly here's a guy who's got, we know he's got good bloodlines, and he's been around the NFL a little bit. When do you start seeing how he fits in?
You figure this next preseason game, the stars will play a little bit more, so that time will be limited for either one of those guys at the end of that game. But that fourth preseason game, it's going to be a battle. I think that you got to look at giving Palmer a little bit more time and let the race be a little bit more even.
See what they can do. All right, the Jaguars win it 27-24. Three other games have gone final. Make it four have gone final. In addition to the Jaguars and Saints around the National Football League here in this second full preseason week in the NFL. The Vikings got a couple of late interception returns for touchdowns and went on to a 36-14 victory over the Buffalo Bills. It was a much closer game than that before a couple of late touchdowns. In fact, the Vikings dominated in the fourth quarter, scoring all the points in the fourth quarter, 17-0. They win the fourth quarter and win the game against Buffalo 36-14. Very good day for Christian Ponder, who the Jaguars will see on opening day. A couple of second-year quarterbacks, Ponder and Gabbert, from that draft class of 2011 going at it on opening day in Minneapolis. Titans and Buccaneers, just about all Tennessee. The Bucs scored early on a Josh Freeman touchdown pass. Then the Bucs got Chris Johnson going, looking much quicker and much more nimble than we saw most of last year. And Rusty Smith, the Jacksonville product, had a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter for the Titans. 30-7 Tennessee with a victory over Tampa Bay. Detroit has beaten Baltimore 27-12. Big day for Matthew Stafford, who had two touchdown passes, including one to Calvin Johnson. And, I think Calvin Johnson's ready to get things started in the regular season.
Megatron, Georgia Tech's finest, baby. Well, second finest.
Second finest, you're going to say now, said the Georgia Tech alum. Five catches, 111 yards, and one touchdown, including a 57-yarder mixed in there. Carolina has knocked off Miami 23-17. Of course, Miami is the team on Hard Knocks, getting a lot of attention for letting go of Chad Johnson, but maybe the big storyline there has been the quarterback situation. David Garrard last week had to get some work done on his knee, and so it was Ryan Tannehill who got the start tonight. The rookie going 11 of 23 for 100 yards, sacked three times, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Cam Newton on the other end, 8 of 11, 119 yards and a touchdown, a quarterback rating of 138.1.
Ooh.
Cam has things going in the right direction as he enters his
second
year.
Sounds like Gabbert.
Yeah, the second-year guy's doing well all of a sudden tonight. And then the other game going on right now, they've hit the two-minute warning in the first half. Arizona leads Oakland 24-8. Tommy Kelly, a sack of Kevin Cobb in the end zone for a safety in that ball game. John Skelton has thrown a touchdown pass. And a blocked punt for a touchdown for a Cardinals score. In that ball game, so the Cardinals are getting it done in a lot of different ways, but it's 24-8 with 2 minutes to go in the first half in that ball game. All right, let's get back to talking about some of the big picture stories. One of the other stories that we'll talk about coming up on post game is a comment that Shad Khan made to Brent Martineau in the pregame on TV, talking about that perhaps there could be some information coming about the London situation in the next week or so. That could be an interesting thing where the Jaguars may wind up going over to London to play. Khan, in his first press conference as a Jaguars owner, talked about wanting to make the Jaguars an international team.
And he's definitely looking at going ahead and taking a team the market, you know, is a little small, but now expanding, making everyone know exactly who the Jaguars are.
So, the Rams this past week pulled out of their opportunity to play several years in a row, play a single regular season game over in Europe, in London. So, who knows? Maybe the Jaguars and Big Ben, and I mean the clock, not the Pittsburgh quarterback, could have a chance to spend some time together.
Don is a big-time businessman.
Yeah, and if nothing else, we could always go to Sonia Richards Ross for directions around London.
There it is.
Who has just spent some quality time there, of course, winning the gold medal in the Olympics. Jaguars fans, season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. All right, one of the other stories we'll be talking more about as the Winn-Dixie postgame show continues. How much of a factor was today's game in the Maurice Drew drama in Mojo making a decision? Again, I don't think the Jaguars, regardless of what happens, are going to be changing their minds on how they're handling this. But Rashad Jennings came out, 11 carries, 62 yards. That's over 5.5 a carry today. Looked good once again. Montel Owens looked good. Average over 5 yards a carry in his 6 totes. And so, that's one of the storylines that we're going to be following, talking about exactly how what's happened in the preseason will impact Maurice Jones-Drew's decision-making. Let's head to the locker room right now, where Jeff Loggman has our coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff standing by with Mike Mularkey.
All right, thank you, Cole. Mike, winning matters no matter what. Preseason, checkers, chess, it doesn't matter, does it?
Doesn't matter, and we're going to do whatever we can to do that. And these guys have battled for these 2 games all the way to the final play, and that says a lot about their character and what the people stand for in the locker room, and we always have a chance.
What do you say to your team after a preseason game like that? Back to work, hey, great job. What do you tell them?
Well, we talked earlier about the momentum change even in the first preseason game, and we talked about having a no-flinch mentality, that we cannot let the highs and lows wear us out, that we got to just stay into the game, focused in the game, that we have a chance if we stay in and play hard and just do – all I said before the game was just do your best. It's all we're going to ask of you, and do it physically. And that got the result that ended. They did that the entire game.
You had to be impressed with your first-team offense. Obviously, when Palmer came in too, but in the early part of that ball game, the way Blaine handled the offense, the way Justin Blackman, his first game outing, I mean, that was impressive.
Very proud of them, okay? Again, because people just wondering, can we do it again? And for them to come out on the road, loud, really a crowd that was into it because of the situation that's going on here in New Orleans, so you knew there was going to be supportive, you knew they're going to be loud, and that opening drive to have, again, no mistakes, go down, convert third downs, and get down there in the red zone and put points on the board, that is huge. And that's a big statement for us because it kind of gives us a feel that we know we were capable of doing that against good football teams.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan here. It has to be special, the first game he's at as an owner, it's a win.
I'm happy for him. He has done a lot for this football team, and they are going to lay it on the line for him. And it was good to see a win for him to be here and experience something like that all the way. This is why he got in. He loves the emotional ups and downs of this league, and he saw it today.
One thing that's always a concern in the preseason is injuries. The only one I saw that appeared to be injured was Keith Toston, who looks like he might have had a minor hamstring pull. But other than that, you guys look like you came out of it healthy.
I think so. I have not had a chance to sit down with the trainers and go through the injury list, but that was really it. We just held them back. We have enough depth at running back to fill in.
All right, thank you, Mike. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
It's head coach Mike Mularkey with the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report, first in the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up from here before Cole and Marco go deep into the night with coverage of tonight's 27-24 win in the preseason over the Saints. And we're back to the Superdome in New Orleans after this on Jaguars Radio. Now score a touchdown with Geico. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO today for your free rate quote. He caught his first NFL touchdown pass tonight, and he's getting his first ever post-game interview by Jeff Loggeman. And I know that's his big a highlight, Loggy.
Yeah, that's probably his all-time highlight. But Justin, hey, congratulations. First game action. You got 4 catches, 48 yards, had a touchdown. How'd it feel?
Oh, it felt good. A lot of fun to be able to go out there and compete and, be able to make plays.
What kind of a relationship are you building with Blaine Gabbert? Looks like one that he's got confidence in you.
Right. Yeah, it's a good relationship. I mean, I'm sure we can build and get stronger in different areas and all around. But right now it's good, and we'll try to keep it going.
What was exciting to me was, and it's a preseason game, but at the end of that game, the sideline just absolutely exploded when you guys came back and won it. And I know this is your first year, but to a lot of teams, a preseason, you kind of take it or leave it. But, hey, you know what? Winning matters, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, we're out here to compete. And, when you compete, there's a winner and a loser. So you want to be the winner.
How do you like Mike Mularkey so far?
Oh, yeah, he's great. I mean, he's leading us the right way, having us doing everything the right way. And, so far, everything's going good.
You've had a lot of time I don't want to say a lot of time, but you've had to spend a lot of your time catching up with wide receivers coach Jerry Sullivan. And it seems like, I guess he got permission to miss some of the coaches' meetings to spend time with you. You got to love Jerry.
Oh, yeah, I do. Jerry, Coach Sullivan is he's one of the, best coaches that you can have as far as receivers coach. And, he knows what he's talking about. He shows us film about it. And, he really pushes us to the limits, over and beyond.
Justin, congratulations on a great first game, and looking forward to many more.
Thank you.
All right. That's Justin Blackman. 4 catches, 48 yards, and a touchdown, and he looked marvelous tonight. Hey, by the way, you also heard the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation earlier with head coach Mike Mularkey. Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just $1 at McDonald's any day, any size, anytime. McDonald's, Joe's loving it. All right, time for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. It came on the opening drive of the ball game as Blaine Gabbert was working his team towards an 80-yard scoring strike. It was at the 16-yard line, and here's our Bud Play of the Game. Gabbert stops his count, points out something in the defense, takes the snap, drops to throw with time, plants, turns, fires, he's got a man, it's caught! Justin Blackman's going to the end zone, touchdown Jacksonville!
Made a man
miss. He caught it at the 6 and broke away for a touchdown. Made a man miss, got to the end zone, and the Jaguars drafted that young man from Oklahoma State for that very reason. Incredible body control. He showed it to us several times on the field tonight, and it was fitting that in his first game he gets his first NFL touchdown. Even though it's the preseason, it was a big one, especially for the Jaguars offense. 27-24, Jags win. We're going to cut short our locker room tonight because J.P. Shadrick, quite honestly, did a phenomenal job. You heard from Blaine Gabbert. You heard from Dewan Landry. You just heard from player after player, Rasheen Mathis. So we're going to pack things up. But before we do, we'll remind you that the Bud Play of the Game is brought to you by Bud Light. It's a sure sign of a good time. So here we go. So thanks to J.P. Shadrick. Hey, thanks to the folks at CopyFax. Our game charts are printed each and every week on CopyFax machines. And I want to tell you, they are crisp, they are clear, and that whole crew over there, led by Jason DeFore, does an excellent job, so we certainly appreciate it. Did I mention JP? He did an excellent job. John Dineen made the trip in from Jacksonville. Mr. Everbank himself, our road spotter, we certainly appreciate seeing him. You know, the good thing for him is he's staying tonight, and Bourbon Street's just really opening up. Right, absolutely. It's right. As we found out earlier, it's what, like a mile from here, Joe? You know the steps? Okay. Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen, Scott Kushner, Joe Fortunato, how many steps is it to the bus, big boy? We will call it a night from the broadcast booth for everybody involved with the broadcast. We say goodnight. Jags win 27-24, final score, final time in New Orleans. Catching a flight home on the Jaguars Radio Network.
We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Marco, did you know the Jaguars are trending globally right now on Twitter?
That's a good thing.
There's some respect.
Exposure.
It's big. I've just tweeted it out for those of you who are Twitter followers. You can see actual photographic proof that the Jaguars are trending on, at least they were a moment ago. I don't know if they still are.
I really think, that pick, getting Blackman, because he was pretty well known. I mean, bringing him here, he's going to bring a lot of attention. And him performing well is going to be a big deal. Blaine also. But, Blackman, they're following him.
Yeah, there's a lot of attention that has been paid to other teams and other players and so forth throughout the last several years. And I'm not blaming it. I mean, when you have 5 wins, it doesn't exactly scream pay attention to me.
And again, they are preseason wins, but they are looking good. is something to be said about a team that comes out, they're crisp, mm-hmm. and they look like they've been preparing. They look like they've been together a lot longer than just one offseason.
All right, we'll get to more of that and the impact of what happened at the end of the game and how much that impacts the feeling of what's going on with the Jaguars here in just a moment. But first, time for a Wells Fargo stats check. Jaguars and Saints, as you might expect when the game goes down to the last 10 seconds, very close in a number of statistical categories. First down, Saints had 23, Jaguars had 22. Third down, Jaguars were 6 of 15. Not bad, not great, but that's 40%. They held the Saints to 3 of 9, 33%, which is not too bad. In the red zone, the Jaguars just 3 of 6, though, and you like to see them be better in the red zone as far as converting red zone opportunities into touchdowns. Total yards, Saints outgained the Jaguars 416 to 352, and averaged, the Saints did average almost 7 yards per attempt, per play. So Jaguars defensively, particularly from the time that Drew Brees really got it going through the mid to late part of the fourth quarter, Jaguars defense needs to button up a little bit as far as that's concerned. Rushing yards, Jaguars as expected outran the Saints 170 to 100. And in terms of the passing yards, Saints threw for 316 yards today. Mm-hmm. Jaguars threw for 182, and much of that coming in the first half with Blaine Gabbert at the controls. And time of possession, Jaguars had 32.5 minutes of possession. Saints about 27.5 time of possession there. So that's the Wells Fargo stats check. Jaguars with the win, and for the second straight week, we've seen very similar things. Early on, you get a good drive by the offense, then they slow down, then they get it kicked up again after that, and then at the end you have Jordan Palmer leading a drive for a touchdown. It was amazing to me last week how many people were excited because they saw the first drive by Gabbert, maybe or maybe not saw the end of things, may or may not have seen the last touchdown, but saw the final score and went, hey, all right, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So same thing here. Well, if you're listening now, you stayed up, but not everybody will have stayed up to watch the end of it, but they will have seen that the Jaguars won it. And from a momentum standpoint, those two things, starting offense looks very good, team wins the ball game, that may be the top two things to really get momentum going in the preseason.
And the biggest thing is a winning attitude. You figure a team that went 5-11 last year, coming out, you know, you might say, okay, they're just preseason games, but what it is with a new coach, a quarterback that didn't have a whole lot of success last year, to be able to come out and say we won some games, that's something you start getting used to. And that's the type of mentality and attitude you got to take into a regular season.
Again, all the talk in the offseason, everybody looking back at the Jaguars, national pundits and others saying, well, you just there's no way. They were not going to be any good at that at all. Well, you know what? All of a sudden, maybe these two wins change some of the perception. Maybe some of those talking heads that haven't taken a real hard look at the Jaguars might start doing just that to see what's happening here. Again, no guarantee of what happens at the preseason, but to win two games against two of the elite teams in the NFC, pretty darn good. Jaguars postgame brought to you by Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better. We'll take time out, come back, talk a little bit more about the offensive line, also discuss some of the defense and some of the guys who really stood out in the game today. Also, is there a quarterback controversy in Jacksonville? Not with the starter, there's not, but maybe with the backup. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked, cold and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's the first name in barbecue. It was the first name in dinner for us tonight. We thank folks from Sonny's for bringing it by here at Jaguar Central.
Indeed.
All right, let's talk about the offense. Quarterback, we're good with Gabbert. I think everybody sees the development that he's made. If you can't see it, you don't want to, or you're not watching. So the question is, how about the backup quarterback? Is there a competition right now for that number two spot between Chad Henne and Jordan Palmer?
I would have to say Palmer is making a real strong case that he should be around here in that second spot.
He's doing it against third stringers
you figure Henne's doing it against second teamers. I mean, there's not a big difference between that second and third team, to be quite honest with you. You know, he's out there, he has a second team offensive line. It's still some of the same guys protecting Palmer. Palmer's throwing to a lot of the same guys that, you know, that Henny's throwing to. He's making better decisions, and he's making plays.
Yeah, and you can judge it two ways. One, just based on the numbers, and two, based on what you're seeing. The coaches are going to have to judge it based on how is he doing it within the scope of the scheme of the offense. And sometimes you can get an idea watching on TV. Not always. Sometimes on TV you don't get the full view of what the guy's seeing and what he's doing. But Jordan Palmer's looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's just something to be said about guys that just make plays. You know, you got football players, and like you mentioned, the pedigree. You know, he comes from that bloodline of guys that just the football is what's in him. And you can see that. He's a football player. He makes plays. Might not always look pretty, but for some kind of reason, it happens.
I talked to him this week in the locker room, and he said, honestly, he has never had more and felt better about being in a place to play football. You know, being here in the organization with what's happening, with what Mike Mularkey's doing. Again, you have to ask the questions if you want to hear the answers. And when you ask the question about the environment that's being developed, and sometimes you don't even have to answer it, as Jordan Palmer just came out and told me, this whole thing, there's a certain feeling around this team right now that's you know, they've been able to capture this freshness, this rebirth, and you know, things are looking pretty good.
Well, you know, when Gene Smith is evident that he puts a high priority on character in the people that he brings in. And that is spreading across the whole locker room. They got a locker room full of guys that have high character. So now the respect for each and every individual is being shown, whether you're a starter or you're a guy that, you know, is just on the verge of probably not being on the team. You're all getting some form of respect from all the rest of the teammates and coaches.
I just saw a tweet from Ryan Robinson, Jaguars insider, who said that Justin Blackman's parents surprised him this morning, called him and told him they were driving to the game tonight from Ardmore. Mm-hmm. So he had good reason to have a good game today. But let's talk about the offensive line. Are you okay with the offensive line as it stands right now? Are you okay with the offensive line as it stands right now, plus Eugene Monroe? How do you feel this group is coming together?
I mean, they're developing as a strong unit. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And it's evident that Andy Heck is doing a really good job because he's plugging guys in different spots, and they're still able to perform. You take a guy that is really a right tackle, put him at left against a solid performer in Will Smith, mm-hmm. He does well. You look at Evan Britton, you move him from right tackle to left guard, he does well. And all that is a straight reflection of the preparation. These guys, not only they spend the time, it's obvious, in practice, working on doing more than just their job, going up and beyond.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to get it done. Because in this sport, one thing that is – something you can count on is injuries. You don't know when it's going to happen, who it's going to be happening to, so you have to have everybody prepared. And it's obvious those guys are doing a great job of preparing themselves.
It appears that right now, if they had to declare their opening day starters, it'd be Eugene Monroe at left tackle, Evan Britton at left guard, Meester at center, Uche at right guard, and Cameron Bradfield at right tackle.
That would be good. I mean, the way these guys – I was watching one play. Bradfield, you know, he's on the left. He pulls. He's got his guy, knocked him down the field. Then you see Evan Britton right behind him. He's running down the field, got his guy knocked down the field. And what do you know? You see Jennings on a 17-yard carry. I mean, these guys are not only just blocking at the point of attack, they're getting down the field and making blocks. You got an athletic offensive line. They're also tough. I mean, I think what Jennings has been able to do is he's definitely a good running back, but it's a direct reflection of how good the offensive line is.
Just as it was last year with Maurice Drew, there's a good run-blocking offensive line.
Yes, indeed.
There's comparisons there. We'll talk about what Rashad Jennings' statement has been in the preseason and how that might affect Maurice Jones-Drew when we come back. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here at Jaguars Central after the Jaguars beat the New Orleans Saints 27-24 tonight to go 2-0 in the preseason for the first time since 2005. Part of the game today, Rashad Jennings, 11 carries, 62 yards. Second straight strong game for Jennings running the football. What do you think that does? This is pure speculation time, but what does that do to Maurice Drew sitting wherever he's sitting in South Florida or West Coast, wherever he might be tonight, and watching this and thinking, you know, how things would develop as far as the potential for a new contract is going to go?
Well, I'm sure he's sitting there saying, you know what, it's just a preseason. You know, these guys, it's just a preseason. And, you know, just trying to convince himself that he's doing the right thing, I would think, right now, because it's obvious this team is not worried about someone that's not here. They're moving on and preparing themselves as if we're going to go without you. And I think they are prepared to do that, and they're confident right now in being able to do it.
Yeah, and with Jennings and then Montel Owens, who averaged over 5 yards again, Montel is going to give you steady work, right? I mean, if a play is well blocked, he's going to make the right read, and he's going to be tough, and he's going to, you know, lower the shoulder, and has a little bit of a wiggle to him. He's mm-hmm. not just a straight-ahead guy, but you feel okay about going into the season with Jennings and Owens from what you've seen so far as the guys who are going to carry the football.
They complement one another. I mean, you have a different element when one of the guys come in, but one good thing that they both have in common is they're smart football players. I mean, these two running backs, they're tough. You got one. You can almost go with thunder and lightning right now with these two guys. You know, when you bring in Jennings, you know, that speed and shiftiness, and then you bring in the headbanger, you know, in Montel to get those really tough yards. So right now, by committee, they can get it done, because I think the biggest thing is that Blaine Gabbert is playing a lot better, and he has weapons. The things that were an issue last year as it pertains to coaching and wide receivers and a little bit of the quarterback too has been addressed. And right now, they're ready to go with MJD or without him.
All right, we'll take time out when we come back. The Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights from today's game. The Jaguars win it 27-24. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. After the Jaguars beat the New Orleans Saints, final score 27-24, Jaguars with the victory. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game. Through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the second straight preseason game, Blaine Gabbert came out razor sharp, a 9-play, 80-yard drive that included a 18-yard run by Rashad Jennings, a first-down conversion to Colin Clarity, and then a 12-yard run by Jennings. And when the Jaguars got into the red zone, it was time to look for the rookie first-round pick.
LaRon Robinson's the only man on the left side. Mike Thomas in motion. Gabbert stops his count. Points out something in the defense. Takes the snap. Drop to throw. With time. Plants. Turns. Fires. He's got a man. It's caught. Justin Blackman's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. He caught it at the 6 and broke away for a touchdown.
A 16-yard touchdown made it a 7-0 Jaguars lead. On the ensuing New Orleans possession, Garrett Hartley would bang through a 37-yard field goal to make it 7-3. And after the teams exchanged punts, the Jaguars got it back again. 14 plays, 66 yards. Key play on the drive may have been a 3rd-and-1 run by Rashad Jennings that picked up 9 in a first down. Or maybe it was a first down catch by Justin Blackman. Or maybe it was a Montel Owens fumble that was then reversed after they went back and looked at the replay. Anyhow, 14 plays, 66 yards, 8 minutes, 15 seconds off the first half clock, and the Jaguars would stretch to the lead.
2nd-and-14 from the 15. Gabbert under his center, quick drop, has time in the pocket, plants, turns, and throws. He's got a man, it's caught. Colin Clarity goes to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Clarity with a touchdown to make it a 14-3 ball game, and after the Jaguars sacked Drew Brees, Jeremy Mincy got the pressure. Terrence Knighton recovered the fumble. Jaguars couldn't get anything going offensively, but did boot a field goal to make it 17-3. Then Drew Brees got going. And when Drew Brees gets going, watch out. Hooking up with Devery Henderson on an 8-yard touchdown to cap a 9-play, 85-yard drive in a tidy 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Made it a 17-10 game at the break. Jaguars were able to hold things down a bit. Chase Daniel came in, hooked up on a touchdown to Joe Morgan that made it a 17-17 ball game, and the Jaguars would take a 20-17 lead. After an interception was overturned on replay, Josh Gobe would kick a 47-yard field goal. Jaguars were up by 3. Then Chase Daniel found Tavarius Cadet from 24 yards out on a very impressive 8-play, 80-yard drive. New Orleans had the lead 24-20 with a minute 53 to go, but the Jaguars' 2-minute drill got it going on 4th and goal from the 11-yard line with Jordan Palmer under center.
18 on the game. for the win. The snap. And there's a quick rush, and this one's caught! Kevin Olland made it! Touchdown, Jacksonville! Holy cow! Palmer was nailed as he released the ball, and Kevin Elliott got three, grabbed it, touchdown Jacksonville.
And that was the final score, 27-24. Aaron Morgan with a sack to stop the game, to clinch it at the end. Another late sack for Morgan, who's making a push as well. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We'll be back for the protector of the game and the coverage of the game as the Winn-Dixie postgame show continues. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here at Jaguar Central. Stick around. More to come straight ahead right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. We talked a bit about the offensive line. Who's the protector of the game today, Marco?
I'm going to have to go ahead and slide it to Bradfield. You know, he had a real tough task today, seeing one of the better players in the league on the defensive line position in Will Smith. I mean, in pass pro and running, and I mentioned it before, you know, getting down the field and getting some blocks down the field. He did a really good job. I have to give him the protector of the game.
All right. How about the Baptist Health coverage of the game? Baptist Health, defend on us for life.
I would say the coverage in the game, that onside kick, that second to starting off that second half.
All right.
Courtney Green comes in and recovers that deal. That was great coverage there.
Did you think it was unusual that Mike Mularkey would go for an onside kick in the preseason? A lot of times you don't pull out the gadgets in the preseason because you don't want to have anything, you know, on film for another team, especially if you have a new coaching staff where there's some air of mystery.
A little unusual, but, I mean, what better time to do it when you really don't have anything to lose? The game doesn't count for anything. You know, here you don't get it. You know, it doesn't count against you. So here's a perfect opportunity in live play to really work on something that you've been scheming.
And isn't it ironic that it comes against the Saints, who you'll recall did that coming out of the halftime locker room in the Super Bowl against the Colts a few years ago down in Miami.
But I'm pretty sure they'll say it was just a coincidence. You know, they might have even had plans to try that, just to work on
it.
You know,
it certainly wasn't. Yeah, there was no.
But a heck of a coincidence,
just
though.
A little something I noticed that you might want to point out there. All right, we'll take time out. Back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on after the Jaguars' 27-24 victory over the New Orleans Saints. Back after this, here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman. Jaguars win it 27-24. Time now for Marco to unleash the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Whole lot of good on all up and down the whole team. But I'm going to have to say that Jaguars first team offense in our first half, just phenomenal. 93 yards rushing, 112 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. If they can get off to this type of start each and every week during the course of the regular season, they will put themselves in a great position to win football games in the second half when it's all about finishing. Now, bad is really tough right now. I mean, this is something I'm loving right now, trying to find something bad about the Jaguars. You know, it's tough right now. But, you know, I did find one incident where the offense couldn't convert a really short fourth down. You know, again, coach is trying something, maybe would have punted in the normal situation. But here it is. You put them out there. You didn't need a whole lot. Guys got to get that small little yardage, that big, tough offensive line. You got to get that there. And ugly, you know, the comments by certain media outlets, you know, that show that they're completely uninformed. National media outlets, you know, I would expect better professionalism by those folks, you know, and that's something I had to say is extremely ugly. Ugly, ugly.
Ooh, very. All right, that'll do it for us here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Stick around. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is next if you're listening in Jacksonville. For those on the network, remember, the Mike Mularkey Show comes up on Monday, and then we'll be back with the Jaguars trying to go 3-0 in the preseason, and they'll do it next week on a Thursday night, traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, 7:30 kickoff Eastern time. Pre-game coverage along the network begins at 6:30 Eastern right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. If you're in Jacksonville, stick around. Your calls, your tweets, when we come back, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351, or you can tweet to me at Cole Pepper, and you can jump aboard with your thoughts, comments, and observations. Jaguars go to 2-0 on the preseason with a 27-24 last-second victory over the New Orleans Saints in the Big Easy. Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is next.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
All right, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is underway. Jaguars win it 27-24. Let's start it off with Marco's money player. Who was the money player in the Jaguars' second straight preseason victory?
I'm going to have to go with the golden boy now, Mr. Blaine Gabbert.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you,
It has taken two games for you to jump on the bandwagon.
But I'm going to tell you, now, I've never been against Blaine.
No, you were not.
Always been, you know, some things that he needs to work on, understanding not only – his, you know, he didn't play a lot in college. Yeah. He's a young guy. So I know, you know, growth. I've seen him play, do some good things. But the thing that I'm really happy to see is the question about the toughness, which I have been one that has thrown that out there. He stood in, and I was very impressed with the way he handled himself today. I mean, against a really good, tough defense that you know is going to come after the quarterback. And he stood in there and made some outstanding throws. He's that guy right now for me.
They may not be coming after the quarterback exactly like they used to, potentially.
Well,
just saying, you know, after the whole Bounty Gate thing, they may not be quite as aggressive when they get
well,
there.
Well, last week, you know, they had some pretty good hits on Brady.
Yep.
When they played against Brady.
That's right. But Gabbert stood in there and stayed strong. Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single game tickets are all on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rice Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. We'll take time out. Your calls when we come back. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Still to come, the carry of the day. We'll have an injury update for you as well. And your calls and tweets. You can tweet it to me at Culpepper if you like. After the Jaguars got it done today in New Orleans. 27-24. Back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. Buehler Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Buehler Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351, or you can tweet to me at Culpepper if you like. Need to make a correction. Earlier I said the Jaguars were trending worldwide. Not the case. I had on the tailored trends button. Still, hey, just to see him up there, you know, still pretty good. Scarface is trending worldwide,
which
was on earlier tonight on
two times,
AMC.
Double time.
They kept playing it. So I had to say goodbye to my little friend. Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked pulled and sliced meats basket for $7.99. Or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. They also have a new game day promotions. Game day wings, 40 wings for $19.99. And a tailgate package, a feast for 4 to 6 for $39.99 for takeout only.
So, that sounds good.
Yeah, you know, hey.
Yeah, very reasonable, too.
A tailgate package for 4 to 6 sounds great for you and I to go in there and enjoy.
Indeed.
All right, let's take some calls here. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Saqib on the south side, who is up next, first, rather, on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Saqib, how are you?
How are you guys tonight?
Good, Saqib.
I'm doing awesome, man. You know, I'm tired of these officials, first of all. I just want to say that this officials are terrible. The Chad Henne incident, he was just taking his mouthpiece off and he got just clamored. Okay, that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And they didn't even just do anything, okay? The second thing is, this kid Justin Blackmon is a real deal. And I cannot wait to get up tomorrow and go get this kid's jersey, because I'm really excited what I see right now. And I love what Blaine is doing. I was hard on him last year. You guys know that I was hard on him last year. Mm-hmm. And everybody wasn't hard. But I'm I really love what he's doing. I'm really happy that he's stepping up in that pocket and just making them passes. He's getting hit, but you know what? That's what they're supposed to. That's why they get paid the big bucks.
It's football.
When they get hit.
It's not
and
ballroom
I'm really
dancing.
Happy.
Yeah.
And also, let me ask you guys one more thing. How long do you guys really think that it would take? I know tonight he only had 48 yards. How long do you guys personally think that he's going to take him, you know, to get that 100 yards, 110? You know what I mean?
He's going to have to play a whole game.
It's going to take a couple more weeks.
He's going to have to play a whole
game. You know.
Yeah, he only played a half today. So, you know, again, it sounds a little bit like a fantasy football question, but he's got to play a whole game before he gets to that number, I think.
Yeah, and it seems like they're going to have a lot of
balance. And the Jaguars, all the Jaguar fans around, man, this team is really good, and y'all need to come see this team because we really are. I'm really happy as a Jaguar fan. I'm really excited what they're doing right now.
Saqib, thanks for the call. I think you expressed sentiments that a lot of folks around the city have that, you know, excited about what's happening. It's very easy to get caught up in it when you see the reaction of some of the players, when you ask them, listen, I've been covering the National Football League. I have to do the math again. I think this is my 19th season of covering the NFL. Mm. And so I've asked a lot of NFL players. I've been covering it so long that I had been covering it for several years when Marco Coleman was playing.
That's a while ago.
It's been a while. But I've asked a lot of questions in locker rooms of athletes. And it's not often that you get overwhelmed by a particular trend of an answer that you're getting. And that's what we're getting in Jacksonville here with the Jaguars, the trend about how tight everybody is as a group and how good they feel about the direction, how good they feel about the environment that's been set, how good they feel about the work that's been put in. Tough training camp, not an unneededly physical training camp, but it's been a tough training camp, and I think you're seeing some of the fruits of that work out on the field.
Definitely. And one of the things is, in order to win, Malarkey understands you have to have a cohesive unit. And you develop that in practice during the preseason. So right now they do have in the process of developing all the ingredients that it takes to have a successful football season.
Yeah, and that's, again, early starts, and we can sit here and make predictions all we want. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, I'm not a gambling man, but Vegas going 5.5 wins as the over-under, ridiculous.
You got to look at, and the schedule and the teams that they're playing. This team is going to be very, very competitive. I mean, it's going to be hard to, to bet against them, that's for sure, the way they're looking right now here in the preseason.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, to sip more, pay less, any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea, now just $1 at McDonald's, any day, any size, any time. McDonald's. I'm loving it. We'll take time out, come back with the carry of the day and an injury update as the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show continues after the Jaguars' 3-point victory in the Big Easy. Back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. This portion presented by Isleborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. Time for an injury update, though, brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care, and Keith Tostin was one who left with a hamstring injury, the running back. We saw Brandon Marshall left the game with a little ding. Not really sure how he's doing. Didn't get much of a report. Good news is, didn't appear to be any offensive line injuries to come out of the game today. That's maybe the biggest part of this.
Well, hey, they got a stack of them. I would be not too surprised if someone did go down. The next one that stepped in, be just as good.
All right, time for the carry of the day, presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. Marco Coleman, who gets the carry of the day?
Oh, Rashard Jennings on his 17-yard scamper in the first half where you see these offensive linemen pulling in front of him, opening up the holes. I mean, it's a thing of beauty right now the way this offense is running the football. It's so smooth. Although it is very aggressive, Rashard is a real nice, smooth runner, mm-hmm. And it's very cohesive. Even with different offensive linemen in different places, it's still getting it done the right way.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not comparing them in terms of talent or productivity or anything else, but Rashad's running style reminds me a little bit of Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, I mean, he's straight up in the
air. Straight up, and down runner.
An effortless run.
Or Kurt Warner, not the quarterback, but the running back
right,
for the Seahawks.
Seattle, yeah.
Same
kind of. And body shape.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
Same kind of style. If you want to go back to the late 80s, early 90s.
He looks so smooth and his strides. Yeah. I mean, he's moving fast, but it's so effortless the way it looks.
Exactly. All right, let's take some calls here. 800-355-NFL1. We go out to San Francisco. And, Clark, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are things in San Fran?
Good. I'm calling from the San Francisco Bay Area, Concord, California, home of Maurice Jones-Drew.
There you go.
Oh,
Concord,
baby.
Yeah.
And I'm originally from the Jacksonville area, and I just want to give a shout-out to you guys. You know, I thoroughly enjoy the show that you guys put on. I don't get to watch a whole lot of Jaguars football, unfortunately, in the Bay Area. But every time the Jaguars play, I listen to you guys faithfully, and no matter where I am. And thank you guys for what you do.
Well, we appreciate it. We have a great time doing it, and it sure beats a real job. So
yeah, appreciate you, Clark.
Yeah, right. And my question for you guys, if Maurice Jones-Drew doesn't sign, how do you think it's going to affect the Jaguar season this year?
Well, it's not about signing, remember. It's just for clarification's sake. He is already signed. He's under contract. He's just not showing up. So,
right.
You know, he's still got 2 years left on the contract. So you're saying what if Mojo never comes back?
Right.
Okay, here's the what if. Again, I think they're going to be able to run the football. I think they will be able to run the football better with Maurice, but I think having Maurice and Rashad and Montel, I think that's a better option than just having Rashad and Montel or whatever. But again, I haven't seen any evidence to say that Mojo not being here has held them back at all. And maybe it's done just the opposite.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I agree with your statement, you know, with Rashad James being a Kurt Warner-type runner.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the same style as MJD, but he's not bad. I mean, he's doing his job, and he's doing it well. And even though it is preseason, he's impressed me. And I'm glad to see he's doing what he's doing.
The biggest question is going to be how will his running style hold up over the course of an entire year if he's the starter and he's the guy. That upright running style, some guy, you know, sometimes it opens you up for bigger hits, sometimes it doesn't. Depends on your vision and how you work in there. But, I mean, there have been a lot of very good upright runners. Marcus mm-hmm. Allen was an upright runner.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Dickerson, Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys, very upright. There have been a lot of guys who were not upright who were very good. And, you know, Maurice is one of them.
Well, you know, having Sylvester Crooms as a running back coach is helping the running game also, because you look at them schematically, they're doing things to help him out. They're really running in a perimeter. I mean, they had like the one particular play where they had all three tight ends lined up to one side.
Mm-hmm.
So when that defense has that, they're going to be shifting all the guys to that side. So what do? The Jags run the opposite direction in the perimeter. And, you know, he gets around there, just one block, and he's got, you know, 8-9 yards before anybody can touch him. So the scheme also is going to help him out in his running style.
Yeah, and I do think with the addition of Justin Blackmon and the improvement of other receivers, it will open up for the running game. And Gabbert, you know, even though it's only been 2 preseason games, I personally think that you can definitely see improvement, which is good for the Jaguars.
No doubt. I mean, I think it's very obvious that you can see that improvement. All you have to do is spend a little time looking at it, and it doesn't take long. You can see it for sure. Clark, thanks for checking in from the West Coast.
Thank you very much.
Later, Clark.
All right, 800-355. By the way, beautiful city, San Francisco. Beautiful city.
But it gets cold out there. I'll tell you, my experience is every time I go out, it's 41 degrees and raining.
What time are you going out there?
Man, it's during football season. I always would play.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go. Yeah.
It was the fall, oh, my gosh. You get some rain and cool weather. There's nothing worse. I mean, the snow, I can take the snow, the heat, but 40 degrees and raining, oh, baby, that's terrible.
Not to get too much off the off the track here, but my wife and I had our honeymoon in Napa Valley. We flew into San Francisco, spent some time there.
Well, full of grapes. You were drinking wine.
We were. It was April. It was gorgeous. It was perfect. So, you know, my advice to you, don't go there during football season. Go in the springtime. 800-355-NFL1. Ken on the west side is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Ken, how you doing?
How you doing, Cole? Mr. Coleman.
What's happening, Ken?
I love you, man. And you're a great Jaguar. What I have to say is it's incredible the team unity that I saw tonight. I want to name the Jaguars the Musketeers, all for one and one for all, because every one of them guys I saw on the field tonight was giving it everything they had, whether they're trying to make the team or they're on the team, there's no doubt there's a different attitude in this city for this football team, and I say let's call them the Musketeers.
The Musketeers.
They're all in, all for one and one for all.
It's
incredible the unity and Mike Mularkey has brought to this team, and not just Mike, but Mr. Khan has brought with everything he's done, and it's great, you know. And when I saw him, Blackman make that touchdown or the first touchdown, and that first thing they did was hand the ball to the referee, and then they celebrated. It's a wonderful thing, guys. It's a wonderful thing, and it's exciting as a Jaguar fan, and I love it. And I hope it continues, because I didn't see nobody lay down tonight, not one person. Everybody was giving it everything they had, and I it looks like we got a lot of depth on this team. I'm really surprised, and I'm actually kind of shocked.
Yeah, but I think the depth is good. I don't know if it's great at this point, because there are some positions that the depth is very good. But I think you nailed it, Ken, in terms of how this team has come together. And Marco, yes, it started as a marketing campaign, you know, the all in, but this is happening. I mean, this is real. You're seeing this. This is the team is buying in. They are getting all in on this. Those who are here anyway. And so, you know, it's you couldn't script a better start to things and have anybody actually believe that this is the way it's going to happen.
No, definitely. And some people now are still saying...
Ken, by the way, thanks for the call, Ken.
Yeah, you still have people that'll be naysayers at this point because of the preseason. But you can't be blind to the fact of the way these guys are going out and performing right now, showing that they are preparing the right way. It's obvious.
Yep.
It's obvious.
Yep, yeah, and you can see it. As a guy who played the game.
Man, these guys are crisp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're a fine old machine right now. You figure one more preseason game, put your hats on, get ready. They got something to bring in this season.
All right, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. When we come back, more of your calls at 800-355-NFL1. You can tweet to me at Cole Tepper. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the London calling, perhaps, this week. And some of the names of guys who Mike Mularkey said after the ballgame really stood out to him. We'll get Marco's take on those Jaguars. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman, Ed Rocco at the controls, Linda Fortunato really at the controls. This is the way it works. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Marco, what do you say we get back to some of these calls?
Let's go.
All right, let's go to Oklahoma. Richard, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Oh, I'm back again in Oklahoma, huh?
Back again and feeling okay.
Slick Rick?
Well, I just wanted to tell you, I'm just like Jordan Palmer. I'm still here.
Still hanging around, getting it done at the end.
I'm hanging around. A couple of things. I'm excited about tonight's game, but, you know, I saw some good stuff. I noticed one thing, that the networks and other people won't pick up is Blaine Gabbert is not intimidated by anybody. Just wasn't.
he really stood in there. You know, that was the big knock last year, was that he would bail out on plays and that he would get on the back foot rather than striding into the ball.
No, he's not intimidated.
Tonight, that was it's clear. I mean, that's something it's obviously he's worked on, and I think you can. At least until you see something otherwise, you can put that thought to rest.
And on the punter, Brian Anger, he didn't get to show much tonight because the offense moved the ball up and down the field. So
yeah, he had one punt that was a touchback that had a 5.1 hang time, and I think it went.
Yeah,
for,
and it could have been a touchdown inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, potentially. So again, when you talk about the things that the Jaguars needed to address this offseason, quarterback play had to be better, pass protection had to be better, receiving core had to be better, punting game
had to
be better,
coaching
had to be better. All five of those key things. I mean, you could find other things that can improve, but those are the big five. They all look like they're better.
Mm-hmm. When you don't get to use your punter and he gets to sit over there, and that's fine.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
Yeah, Anger would take an assignment that only had him holding extra points. He'd be all right with that for a day.
That's some nice money.
I believe that would so.
Yep.
And the last one, I just have a little complaint.
Uh-oh. All right, go for it.
I don't know why I do this, but I watch NFL Network and ESPN, and I'm sorry. I don't know why they just don't do split screen and show Tim Tebow on one side and Peyton Manning on the other side.
Listen, I get why they show them, because these are guys of big fan bases. They're in the ratings business. That's fine. My problem is not so much when they show a lot of those guys. My problem is when they get the facts just blatantly wrong about any team, but the Jaguars
here currently. Yeah, exactly.
So that's just the issue. Richard, thanks a lot for the call from Oklahoma, and hang in there out there in OK.